Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Out the First. It is July the 9th, 2024. I'm Ryan Belge. Thanks for being here. We have some things to talk about, namely that Keegan Bradley is the U.S. Ryder Cup captain, and he spoke in front of the media today in New York, what I thought was an impressive news conference for a guy who apparently had really no idea that he was going to be in this role whatever number of weeks ago that he took it. And we'll talk about Tiger Woods' involvement in the Ryder Cup this time around and moving forward, as well as on the back end of the show, we'll talk about Joost Luiten, and the ongoing saga between himself, the Dutch Federation, Olympic Federation, and the International Olympic Committee and the International Golf Federation. There's a lot to get to today on that front, and I know that's going to be overshadowed, but we're going to talk about it a little bit later on. Also, we are presented by friends at Swannies. Check them out at swannies.co. Use the promo code GNN25 to save 25% off your first order. Okay, now, Keegan Bradley meets with the media today in New York. This was previously announced yesterday before the leak from Bob Herrig of Sports Illustrated that Keegan Bradley was in fact going to be the U.S. Ryder Cup captain, and then set off a firestorm of people reacting to it. And I think the interesting thing was, and this sometimes happens with news where you get it leaked to someone. One, you know, maybe it's a favor for a favor. Hey, you've been great to us over the years. We'll give you the story. Some of it's a reward, you know, carrot and stick kind of system. But I kind of get the sense that maybe this was a trial balloon, that they threw it out there to Herrig, and Herrig obviously reported because it's a fascinating scoop. And then the reaction came in, and it was, all right, I think at least the consensus was, after the initial shock, was, all right, this is different enough, I could be supportive of this. That they're trying to bust up the boys club, that they're trying to move on from the Ryder Cup committee, the task force era of the Ryder Cup, and they're trying to get younger and they're trying to get a little bit smarter and closer in age in terms of the whole administration of the Ryder Cup to the players who are going to be competing in it, because golf's getting younger, stars are tending to stay or be established younger, and so it's becoming a younger person's event. And Keegan Bradley is young. He's 38, going to be 39. So he would be kind of that proper connection to the next generation of player, where he's still very much active. He's still very much in the top 25 in the official world golf ranking. And well, in one sense, that creates an interesting conundrum. And he talked about that, having a desire to make the team. He wants to play on the U.S. Ryder Cup team. He wants to earn it on points. But he probably won't pick himself if he winds up getting into that position where you're the first guy out who usually gets picked almost as a courtesy. Or if he's just kind of close enough or he's in good form, would he pick himself? I get the sense he would kind of rule that out, but he wants to make the team on points, and he was explicit. He wants to make the team on points so that he could be a playing captain. And I think that's very reasonable. He's 38 years old. He just had the best seasons of his career, short of winning a major championship in his first attempt. And that makes sense. Like, you're still going to try to make that Ryder Cup team. And I don't think it's so beyond the pale that if he makes it on points, he can't play. I mean, again, this is an exhibition. This is not life and death. This is not that huge of a deal. The U.S. has an enormous advantage being the home team in 2025, just like the Europeans did in Italy last time around. There's no reason to think that Keegan Bradley can't walk and chew gum at the same time were he to earn his way onto the team on points. I don't think there's any reason to believe that is not possible. So let's put that to aside for a second, because I don't necessarily think he's going to make it on points, and if he does, hey, good for you. Because there is a lot of work that goes into being the U.S. Ryder Cup captain. But the good news for Keegan Bradley is that the PGA of America hired John Wood to do a lot of this stuff. His job as kind of the manager of the U.S. Ryder Cup team is to handle some of this stuff that captains have previously had to handle, or maybe they've offloaded to their spouses or to other people that weren't directly or officially associated with the Ryder Cup. Go back to the days of Corey Pavin as the Ryder Cup captain and the captainess, his wife, Lisa, who was then posing in suggestive poses on regional magazines out in the Texas area. I mean, it was a very strange time the last time we had that kind of thing going on. So to have John Wood, who's definitely not going to pose in suggestive poses in regional golf magazines to handle that type of stuff, is a good thing. That helps Keegan Bradley. If he makes the team on points, it helps him if he doesn't. And that's a good thing. I do appreciate the PGA of America stepping out in front of the first probably set of questions that they were going to get about this and saying, hey, Tiger was interested in being the Ryder Cup captain, but he felt with everything going on with the PGA Tour and the negotiations with the Saudis and the TGL and all that stuff he's got going on in his life, that he cannot properly devote his time and resources to being a successful U.S. Ryder Cup captain. And they read a statement from him that kind of confirms all that and then said, hey, when I'm to a place where I think I can do this and I want to do it, then I will put my hat in the ring. And you know, the kind of parenthetical part is, and then I'll be the freaking captain because I'm Tiger Woods. And that day will come. Tiger will eventually be a Ryder Cup captain. That's going to happen. But, and I'm not going to say he's going to get Larry Nelson here, but I am intrigued by the idea of trying to transition from Tiger's generation. Tiger, Phil's never going to be captain unless there's some kind of massive upheaval here we don't see, which, hey, never say never, I suppose. But he's not going to be captain. Stuart Sink's probably not going to be captain. We're done with Davis. We're done with Jim Furyk. Maybe Stricker, but you know, you'd let him do anything you want with the President's Cup forever. He would love that, and the PGA Tour would reward him for that. So you've got that kind of generation of guys that more or less made up the task force or the task force after the fact. If they're all gone because you're trying to usher in the next generation with Keegan Bradley, when is Tiger a one-off? Does he agree to do it twice? Is it kind of a one and, you know, let's just say everything got made up and somehow Phil gets back into the good graces of the PGA of America and the golf world. And we all go, okay, well, we're gonna be behind Phil as captain. When's that going to be? Because he's well into his 50s now. That ship is about to sail pretty hard, well away, because he can't be the 2025 captain. He could be the 2027 captain, I suppose. But that's three more years from now, and that puts him in his late 50s. And that flies straight in the face of having a 38-year-old guy named the U.S. Ryder Cup captain. So there are some things to think about there in terms of continuity, in terms of messaging. So, which all leads me to believe this is more of a trial balloon idea, because Tiger wasn't going to take the job. Then the PGA of America had to respond to that. And they did not have a clear successor in mind. I think it sounds like they put a lot of eggs in the Tiger basket. And the Tiger said, hey, we have an existential crisis in professional golf. I'm at the helm of that. I need to handle that before I handle a three-day exhibition match that frankly never meant that much to him compared to all of his individual accomplishments. So Keegan Bradley is your guy, right? He's the next generation. He's got different ideas. He's going to do something a little different. He checks a lot of boxes. But the interesting thing is he never threw his name into the ring for this. He did not. There was no application process. There was no phone call to gauge his interest. There was no job interview. How would you think about this? What would you do? Who would you like to have? And any of those types of things that a normal person that would take on a two-year job like this would probably have to go through. And Keegan Bradley explained it in the news conference today, basically saying, I had never told anybody I was interested in this. No one had asked me. And then I got a phone call from the PGA of America with Seth Waugh and Zach Johnson saying, you can be the Ryder Cup captain if you want. Do you want the job? And he said, yes. What in the world? How does that happen? I know that there's not succession plan. Apparently not to the degree that they had thought, because you had this the task force era of, well, we're going to have a system of guys that are going to be the captain, and then they're going to have a group of guys who have a chance to be a vice captain. We'll see how they do, and maybe they're the future captain. And then they just threw all that away. There was no succession planning. The next succession was Tiger and maybe Phil, and Phil went away with Liv. So your next succession was Tiger. Tiger couldn't do it. Now the bench is empty, because who do you pick? Stuart Sink? I mean, no offense to Stuart Sink. I'm sure he would have been a fine captain. But There's no juice in that. And that's just more of the same, that more of the same that lost in Italy and lost in Paris by bad margins and nothing worked right. Why are you going back to him? You can't retread Davis Love for a third time. Jim Furyk was not particularly good in the role and didn't really seem to care for the role. So that's another problem. Who's left? Who do you call? I don't know who you call. And that's why Keegan Bradley got the call, because he was clearly passionate about it. He clearly cares. And he wants to be a part of this. Well, maybe if you won't be a part of it on points, you can change how the Ryder Cup is done in the future. Credit to Keegan Bradley. Was very impressive in his news conference today. He talked about wanting to change things. He talked about wanting to assess how vice captains were picked, who those people would be. And he was very adamant that those vice captains that worked with him were likely to be closer in age to the players than to the ages of vice captains that we've seen in this last 10, 12-year run for the Americans, of guys who are in their late 40s, early 50s, who were well removed from the possibility of qualifying for the team, who haven't been playing on the modern PGA Tour in the same way the guys who will make the team are playing on the modern PGA Tour. The modern PGA Tour is completely different for Scheffler and Schauffele and Cantlay and Spieth and Justin Thomas and Sam Burns, all these guys that could or could not make the team. It's different for them. They play for lots more money. They play less frequently. Well, a little bit less frequently. They are effectively younger, right? They become stars sooner and they're stars for longer earlier in their career. So their 20s aren't just, hey, getting acclimated and then you hit your prime. Well, no, you hit your prime at like 28, 29 now, not 31, 32, 33. That's done. We're done with that. So you need a captain who understands closer to the modern PGA Tour for superstars than what was. And Xander Schauffele talked about that at the Scottish Open today. He said, Bradley will understand what some of the things that players go through who compete in the Ryder Cup, the off-the-course stuff, the dinners, the parties, the dressing up, the formal events, that a lot of the players don't particularly care for it, or at least the volume of it. And that maybe he might pare back from the two or three mandatory dress-up dinners down to one or two. I don't know what difference that has in player performance, but just seemed like a general gripe that Xander Schauffele wants Keegan Bradley to address. Which, okay, fine. You can create your list of grievances and see what Keegan will do for you. But I think that having someone closer to that age is better. And also having a younger set of vice captains will be better as well. Again, closer to the players, can work with them a little bit more directly without having to spend so much time forging that relationship. That's a good thing. The Europeans have been doing this for a long time. This is what the playbook was. This is what the task force should have figured out. Yes, we have a bench. We have vice captains who get their feet wet, and then they get used to the role, and then they can move up, and then the other guys move back and support, and all that. That was part of it. But the big part that the task force missed was this idea that you wanted younger people to be involved. You wanted people who are in this Keegan Bradley zone of like late 30s, early 40s, to be guys that were involved as vice captains so that then they could become captain or they could be involved more intimately. And that is what you need to do here. That is what you need to set up for the future, which is let's identify that next generation of player who's in their 40s or at least their late 30s. Let's start getting them involved, making them interested in the process, getting them the experience that maybe they need as an administrator, which is, that's kind of what this is being an administrator, being a captain, and then creating that next generation and creating that pipeline. And I think that's a good thing. That is a very, very good thing, ultimately. So Keegan Bradley may well be the guy to do this job effectively. He may not, right? I mean, it may go very poorly and this all turns out to be a horrible idea, and you have a reactionary move next for 2027, and you install Tiger to be captain for three Ryder Cups in a row. All of that stuff can happen. And there still may be a lot of bumpiness to come, because you got to let Tiger be captain at some point. You don't have to let Phil be captain if you don't want. But you got to let Tiger be captain when he wants, and probably for as many times as he wants. So if that's one, that's two, three, whatever. But that's got to happen. And that's going to be a bump or a detour around what your bigger goal is, probably. for this competition because you need to find someone who eventually can win on the road. And that captain needs to be there for 27. 25 captain, trial balloon, experiment, U.S. is probably going to win. And cool for Keegan to say that Bethpage Black, which hosts the 25 Ryder Cup, is New York's home course. Well, now it's going to be America's home course, and we should protect it as such. I think it's a really interesting way of trying to galvanize fans really early on in the process, get behind them and say, hey, you are 13th man, which is what he said, and that we need your support. We need you to help us defend home soil because we can't win on the road. We need to win at home, and we've been doing so very well. We need your help. And I think that was a good way to approach that initial outreach. So all told, I thought Keegan Bradley handled himself exceptionally well. He did say he is not unpacking the suitcase from the 2012 Ryder Cup until he is on a winning team. Good news is, it's very much stacked in his favor to win in 2025. So there's a very good chance that a very noxious set of fumes will come out of that bag next, not this fall, but next fall. And he'll be a winning Ryder Cup player or captain or player captain. So there's that. Thought that that was interesting news today. So that's obviously the predominant portion of the show. Very interested to hear from Rory McIlroy as we get a better sense of what's going on in his life, what's changed, if anything, since the U.S. Open. We'll get a sense of that. But we'll close with two things. One, I am reluctant to be particularly critical of Lexi Thompson because she's on the farewell tour here. But Lexi Thompson skipped the major this week. There is another major on the LPGA schedule this week. They have five. This is the Amundi Evian Championship, the one played in France. It was the one that has been tacked on in the course of her career to make a fifth major. They raised the prize money this year. I think it's to $8 million so that they could better compete with the other major championships in terms of purse. They've put a lot of work into the golf course. I know it's not the best golf course there's ever been, but it's also a really cool setting. And you have 42, 43 of the world's top 50 competing. Ronnie Yin can't play because she's got an injury she's overcoming and had surgery for. But Lexi Thompson just outright skipped it. And she has made a habit of skipping this tournament. She just doesn't like it, so she doesn't play it. But it feels kind of like for everything that she did right in announcing things at the U.S. Women's Open and handling herself at the Women's PGA, this feels like a minor middle finger to the European fans of, oh, well, I never thought this was a major. I never cared for this, so I'm out the door. Screw you. Would have been nice for her to play in this. That all said, Nelly Cort is there. She has a news conference scheduled. I assume she's going to talk about the dog bite a little bit. Who knows what status she is in based on that dog bite. We have no idea where she was bitten. We have no idea the extent of it, any of those things. So that's going to be something we're going to find out in the next day or so. And then you've got a very interesting card this week in terms of just golf events around the world. We've got PGA Tour and DP World Tour co-sanctioning two events. You got the Scottish Open. You've got the ISCO Championship in Kentucky. You've got LIV at Valderrama and Andalusia in Spain. You've got this major in the LPGA, the Evian Championship. The Amundi Evian Championship. I want to be fair to that. And then you've got another major on the PGA Tour Champions played at Firestone that used to be the old Senior Players. Now it's the Colleague Companies Championship. And it is a weird week to have both of those majors, kind of the two that seem most, I guess maybe the tradition is the most out of place Champions Tour major, but this is the most out of place LPGA major because it's the youngest and kind of just got thrust into this position somewhat out of the blue. And it still remains kind of the weirdest of the majors. It's kind of the lottery ticket major. And that makes for a weird card this week for sure. Before we get to the last topic of this show, be sure to check out the Golf News Net YouTube channel. You can check out the Road to French Lick episode 6. Had two guests on this week's show. We had Jackson Buchanan, who is the NCAA co-runner-up from this year's individuals, the Big Ten Golfer of the Year, made his Korn Ferry Tour debut at the Memorial Health Championship. Talked to us about that experience and then also his potential transition to professional golf. We also were joined by Sean Walsh, who sometimes plays golf on YouTube with the Good Good Guys, played the Good Good Midwest Open. He almost set the course record from the tips on the French Lick Pete Dye course, which is one under par, which is incredible. And talked about that in the show. And then also we recapped the last two episodes with victories by John Pack and Max McGreevy and Stephen Fisk also earned a secured spot next year on the PGA Tour through the points list. So check that out on YouTube. All right, last story of the day. Yao Sloyton's been in this very interesting situation as it relates to the Olympics. He would have qualified based on the Olympic qualifying system because it's the top two highest ranked players from each country, and you kind of pick them off the list. You have a captain, so to speak, for a country, and then you can have the next highest ranked player, but you're basically allowed only two players per country unless you have more than two players in the top 15 in the world ranking or the Olympic ranking, and then you can pick up to four of them, maximum four for those countries. And there's only really two countries where that would work for, the United States and Korea. So you've got, on the men's side, Yao Sloyt was in based on the Olympic ranking, but the Dutch Olympic Committee or Federation pulled him out of the tournament because they didn't think he could medal. So they didn't want him representing the Netherlands. And he sued, took it to court, and won. And so he had this ruling that said, hey, you've got to let me in this tournament. You got to let me represent the Netherlands. I earned it. You can't take it away from me. Well, that went to the International Golf Federation. And there, the IGF is what handles the Olympic golf tournament. However, they had already allocated Loyton's spot to another person. So when Loyton came to them and said, hey, I can compete now, put me in the field, they said, we've already used your spot. So now they had to go to the International Olympic Committee and say, well, we'd actually like to have a 61 player men's Olympic tournament because we gave away Loyton's spot, but he should be able to play based on this court order. What do you say? And the IOC said, no, you can't do that. So you can't play. And the International Golf Federation had to go back to Yao Sloyton and say, I'm sorry, your spot's been taken. We can't open up another. What do you want to do about it? So now that's basically IGF's statement is we have to wait to hear from Yao Sloyton whether he wants to pursue this further, whether he wants to, I guess, sue the IGF maybe or the IOC for his spot. It'd be very interesting to see what he does from here. But what a crappy state of affairs for Yao Sloyton to be able to go through the whole qualifying for the team, have it taken away from you, go to court to get it back. And then the IGF say, well, we gave away your spot, but we'd love to have you in because you qualified. The IOC says, no, we can't have one more competitor in golf, which is mind-bogglingly stupid. And now what are you going to do about it? It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Yet let Yao Sloyton play or have someone withdraw so that he can play. It's going to be his last crack at it, right? I mean, he's to the point in age where 4 years from now in 2028, he's very unlikely to qualify for the next Olympics. Just let him in. Like, this is beyond goofiness. I realize the Olympics are very important to a lot of people and in a lot of sports, but golf is relatively new to this in the modern Olympics. And the idea of just denying a guy because some country's Olympic committee decided they didn't want him to compete is bananas. It's banana stupid. Let him play. Get him in there. Let's do it. All right, it's going to do it for us today on the show. Thank you so much for watching or listening, whether you caught us in the live stream or you catch us on video after the fact or as a podcast. It's very much appreciated. Check back in with us tomorrow. We'll have another live show at about 1 o'clock Eastern time. It's going to be a big day tomorrow for Golf News Net. We're getting everything prepped for a big announcement that you've probably heard the gist of at some point if you caught the show over the last few months, but it'll all be official tomorrow. So very, very excited about that. We'll have a little bit of a party. We'll talk about the news. We'll have a good time tomorrow. Email me, Ryan, @thegolfnewsnet.com on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky @RyanBalogi, Facebook, YouTube, Ryan Balogi Golf, and Golf News Net is on all of those services at the handle, Golf News Net. Thanks so much for spending some time with me. I appreciate it. And we'll be back here right with you tomorrow on Two Off the First.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. livewithchampion.com.
Remember those endless summer days that felt felt like they just last forever. Sunrays kiss your skin. Grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.